Well, we've got a split show for you tonight. So Joe Taylor's with us, Giants Against Evolution. We're going to take your phone calls this hour with Joe before moving on with a special guest, James Wasserman, as we talk about black magic next hour. So let's get ready to take your calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Joe Taylor with us. Joe, are fossils expensive? I mean, if you wanted to buy a dinosaur bone, how much would it cost?
A common hadrosaur leg bone, if it's on a stand and glued back together, would go for under $2,000. A T-Rex bone, a femur of a T-Rex bone, you're looking at $20,000. Hmm. T-Rex teeth are worth about $1,000 an inch. other teeth of more common animals like Triceratops, hadrosaur, wouldn't be but a few dollars. Mammoth teeth go for a decent mammoth tooth would go for somewhere around $300 to $800 if it's really nice. You can get blue tusks from Alaska or Siberia, about 7 feet long, 3 inches across, generally from an older female. They're blue, they're really beautiful. And usually they have to have restoration because they're hit with bulldozers or fall out of the cliffs and the Inuit find them. But they're getting more expensive, but you can get a nice set of blue tusks for probably $12,000, something like that or more.
Are there collectors, not museums, but individuals who might have an incredible collection worth millions in their houses somewhere?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't give names, but I know there are several. I've seen some of them. There's some people that have some serious money that rather than buy bronzes or Picassos, they're buying fossils. And a lot of people decry that. Some of the academic guys, the paleontologists, decry that. It's like, come on, you know, that guy paid $250,000 or $1 million for that to put it in his house. You know he's not going to throw it away. When he gets tired of it or something happens, he'll give it to you. He'll donate it to your museum or something. And the commercial guys like myself, if you want to call me that, we get pretty tired of being beat up about this.
Sure.
You know, it's like, come on, this big mastodon that I restored the skull of, it's the biggest one in the United States, at least the four-tusker. It was on a garage floor, all busted up, would never been done anything with. It finally just lay there and turned to nothing. And I spent a year and a half to fix that thing up and a lot of money and did a lot of research on it, did things that had never been done before. And I got hate mail for that, you know, and especially because I'm a creationist. It's like, that doesn't have anything to do with restoring it. You know, I did all the research that anybody else would do and more.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with my religion, religious beliefs, or yours.
No,
you know,
not at all.
Facts. Bones are bones.
It's a historical piece of artifact, and you want it to look right.
Yeah. A lot of the commercial guys, you know, they don't go out and ravage the land like they're accused of it. That's stupid because you're losing money. You go out, you do a proper dig, you document it. You may bring in some other paleontologists, you know. And if it's really important or considered to be important, whatever it is, a lot of times it's given to the museums, you know, somewhere, to, you know. But they complain because there were like 16 hadrosaur skeletons in Japan. Yeah, so there are 10,000 in the Ruth Mason quarry alone.
Yeah.
And that's only one quarry. I've seen places where the bones are 2 feet thick and they're just solid and they go on for miles.
What do you think of the Loch Ness Monster, Joe?
Well, it apparently is a common plesiosaur, which is, again, is supposed to be gone for 65 million years. And it's like Bigfoot and UFOs. After thousands of reports by ordinary people who have nothing to gain from making up some dumb story, you have to say there's something to this. Well, we don't believe it because we hadn't caught one. Well, you didn't have a lowland gorilla till the 1800s. You know, you're going to deny those? Just because if somebody hadn't said, well, let's go see about this big, giant, you know, ape-like thing. Finally, somebody went out there and found one. Oh, hey, it's really true. Yeah, because you're an adventurer. A lot of these guys that criticize these things like Loch Ness, they'd never go out and look for one or try to prove or disprove it. So they just sit back and throw rocks at the glass, you know, glass windows and think they're really, really sharp. In the meantime, guys like me and others that have any money go out and check this stuff out. Yeah, it's out there, and so is Bigfoot.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to Jerry in Long Beach, California to start. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
Hey. First-time caller. Wow, this is right up my alley, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Super, Jerry. Thank you.
Hi, I got a question for you. Do you think that there's any possibility that there's any dinosaurs, underground dwellers, prehistoric, anything living right now these days?
Oh, yeah.
Besides the plesiosaur, what do you think?
Yeah, I got some great stories. I'll tell you, I'm convinced that they're at least some sort of a theropod, like a sauropod, I mean, like an allosaur or a T-Rex-like animal, about 8 or 10 feet tall, and a sauropod, probably 30 feet long. Both of them are black, and they're in the Amazon jungle. One was killed by a native accidentally. He was trying to shoot a pig. This thing reached out and grabbed the pig, and the arrow hit the allosaur or whatever it was, probably right in the ear or somewhere, went into his spinal cord, but it killed him. They went back 3 days later to see why the jungle smelled so bad, and sure enough, here's this black T-Rex-like thing there with a pig in his mouth. And the people that told me that came into my museum. Again, they weren't looking to convince me that their dad killed something, or this lady's dad, who was the Amazonian lady. They weren't trying to convince me. They didn't care if I believed it or not. They wanted to get some dinosaur books with pictures in there to go show him so he could pick out the one he killed.
That's an amazing story. And if there was one, there could be many more.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some good reports recently. No photographs yet because it's in an African island or an island near Africa somewhere. Well, they don't have cameras. They don't need them. They don't, you know, they don't have sketch pads. They don't need them. And so they see these things, and now word's gotten out. Apparently, there's two or three of these small sauropods, you know, the long-neck, long-tail dinosaurs,
right,
that are alive and doing well. And again, if you got two, you got more.
Has anybody ever brought you or tried to bring you a bone of what could have been Sasquatch?
Guy called me up several years ago and said, hey, I hear he can raise money. I don't know where he heard that, but anyway, he said he was a Bigfoot guy. And he said, yeah, a lot of it's bogus, but a lot of it's legitimate. He said there was a couple of guys up in British Columbia or somewhere up there. They were bear hunting on a boat, saw a bear and shot it. When they got up to it, said, oh my gosh, you know, this is a Sasquatch of some kind, about 8 or 9 feet tall. So they went and rented a backhoe and buried the darn thing and, you know, didn't know what to do. So this guy found out about it, and he says, you know, look, if we just get a couple $1,000, go rent a helicopter, we'll go in there, we'll dig down, get just a piece of hair or, the, you know, hide or something, and because when the thaw comes, the bear's going to dig it up and eat it. And I couldn't raise the money, and I don't know whatever happened to the whole deal, but I think the latest story is... couple of major labs have got hair from a Sasquatch and or a Yeti, or maybe both, same thing probably, and they're trying to do DNA on it.
Yes, Dr. Brian Sykes is trying to do that.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, he's a geneticist. So maybe one day we'll find something.
Yeah, you know, I asked this guy, I said, how come we don't, you know, they get hit by cars, they get shot, why don't we see them? He says, well, apparently they dispose of their dead. You know,
that could be too.
Go find me a bald eagle. There's so many of them out there. We know they're there. Go get me a nice skeleton of a bald eagle.
You can't find one, can you?
No, you can't find a deer skeleton out in the woods. After a while, you can't even find their horns because they get eaten.
That's a good point. Let's go to New Orleans. Hey, Juan, take it away. Go ahead, Juan.
Hey, how's it going? First
good,
time caller too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Juan, go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wanted to ask a question. Maybe you can entertain this, but so you have 5%ers, kind of like a subsect of like Islam, and you have one of the teachers of Dr. York. He speaks about like dinosaurs and how they may have been seeded here before us, before we finally, you know, evolved from maybe Anunnaki or ancient astronauts, but.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Do you think that dinosaurs are maybe descendants or seeds of like DNA of reptilians from another star?
mean, like the reptilian, human-like?
And, yeah, there've been, you know, all this discussion, Joe, over the years that we've been seeded by extraterrestrials as humans. What about animals?
Well, I really, to boil it down to perhaps a simplistic answer, if you consider the fallen angels, the fact of they came down and married human women, if you believe that, there's the giants and all those, that whole story. The animals, you know, people look at T-Rex teeth, for instance, and they go, wow, that couldn't be a plant eater. Surely God didn't, you know, make this. He must have evolved or have been the product of one of these space aliens or a giant or somebody came in and made it with a lizard and ended up with this T-Rex. But if you look at T-Rex teeth, they have three serrated ridges on them. And their serration teeth are not good for bones and meat. They stick in them. We found a lot of broken T-Rex teeth, about 2.5 inches long, on the tips. But they'd be fine for biting into tough fruit, breadfruit, or a watermelon, something like that, because it would go through, slice the stuff up, and their teeth would come out. So while they did eat meat, we know they ate meat. We've got plenty of evidence of that. It doesn't mean they were designed to eat meat. People eat meat. We weren't designed to eat meat. We're not carnivores. Look at our teeth. They're like sheep.
Yeah.
Okay? So teeth don't really mean anything, but we think they do, and that's been a misconception all these years. But the one reason people think that dinosaurs and mammoths and all that lived, or at least dinosaurs, lived prior to humans is because we've been told for so many years by Darwinists that they're millions of years ago and man didn't exist back then. Well, you know, 30 years now I've been in this, and I've seen plenty of evidences of man and dinosaurs living together. There are giant human bones found in strata that's supposed to be 500 million years old. You go down to Glenrose, Texas. There are trackways down there that you just can't, there's no dinosaur makes a human footprint. Everybody knows it. You know, these are people making footprints in the mud, and the dinosaurs are in there about the same time, too. So, You do have evidences of man living with dinosaurs, even big men. There's no reason to think they preceded us. And again, like the Bible says, all these things were created, the beasts of the field, like dinosaurs, the creeping things, they were created on day the same day humans were. And then Adam named them all, you know, and there they are. They're out there doing fine. Well, Adam sins, death enters, and death has reigned since then. So everything's died. Things kill each other. We kill each other. You know, that's the reason for all this death and destruction. It's not evolution. That's the point of my book. Look at the animal kingdom alone. There, you know, we're getting smaller and less complex. There is no evolution going on in the animal kingdom, and not in the human kingdom at all. All those supposed hominids from the monkey on up to the, you know, the 6-foot-tall white guy, you know, most of them have been disproven. They're hoaxes. They're mistakes. Like the Nebraska man was a pig's tooth. I found jaws just like it. And the pig's teeth look just like human teeth. Giant hyena's front teeth look just like human teeth until you find the jaws, you know. So there's mistakes like that, but there is nothing. You got monkeys, you got apes, and you got people. You got all kinds of people, little people, big nose people, little nose people, blonde, black. You got that whole variety, you know.
Do you love doing what you're doing, Joseph?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy it. Well, I'm an artist. I get to work on God's art. You know, it's like getting to restore the Pieta or something like that. I would consider that an honor. It's not my artwork. I would consider it an honor to restore some of Michelangelo's things if they were damaged. I consider it an honor to work on God's sculptures.
Next up, let's go to Sandy in the city of New York. East of the Rockies. Hi, Sandy.
Oh, hi. Good evening. I'm really enjoying your show. I mean, everything that your guest, Mr. Taylor, is saying is absolutely true. And I'm a student of the Torah, the written and the oral. And there are stories definitely of giants. I mean, they're not stories. They're absolutely true. And we know that when the spies, when Moses sent the spies into Israel, they came back and they said, we were like toads in the eyes of the people that lived there because they were giants. And when you say 15 feet, that's even small. They were much, much bigger than that.
True.
And then they had to go in and they had to defeat the king of, I guess now what you have, Iraq and that whole area. And there were two great kings. And they
Nebuchadnezzar, I think.
You know, so everything you're saying is the absolute truth. And they were defeated in the end, but they were absolutely huge. Much taller than, you know, they may even have gone up to at the beginning of 100 feet, which is unbelievable, but that's the way it was. And the other thing that you're saying is also true, but when you talk about people that fell from the sky, we know there's a term called Nephilim. There were people that actually fell from the sky, but they didn't mate. I mean, they were human. You know, so that's one of the things that is also mentioned. So to really understand the creation and what happened at the very beginning, one must study the Torah in its original, and that's the written and the oral. That's what I wanted to say. Anyway, your show is really great, and I really appreciate it. And I just wanted to ask you, in your museum, do you have any specimens of you?
We lost you right at the end, Sandy. What did you say?
I'm saying, in your museum, sir, do you have any specimens of human giants?
What I have are tracks of trackways of giants, and that's we're still looking for the bones and the flesh. There's leads on them, and as you know, all the Middle East is you never know when a war is, you know, going to be going on or right, what's happening. And it's difficult to, even if you had the resources to go to some of these places, it's difficult to, you know, the political climate is oftentimes hard to understand, and so these places aren't really accessible. But you're talking about these guys that are 100 feet tall. When the Israelites went in and saw these men, they came back and they said, you know, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're like nothing. But you'd have to be pretty small, a man 34 feet tall, 35 feet tall, 50 feet tall. That he'd look down on you, you'd look like a grasshopper to him, and you would look like a grasshopper yourself to him. So is there any evidence of that? And I've got quite a few instances in my book that show, yep, these aren't just elephants, because elephants aren't that big. You can't have you stretch a bull mammoth out and take his tusk off, so you know he's, so, you know, with the tusk there, you know it's an elephant. You take the tusk out, you're not going to find any elephant, no fossil elephant that's as big as some of these skeletons are reported to be. So they have to be something else. They have to be a man or just completely made up, and there's no reason for them to be made up.
All right, Joe, we're going to come right back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Ghost to Ghost, next Wednesday night, make sure you're part of the program. Send your ghost story, include your phone number to ghoststories@coasttocoastam.com. We're going to have your open lines, but this is something special. ghoststories@coasttocoastam.com, and make sure you send all your information, including your phone number. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Joe, what museum would be, do you think, the best out there, the Smithsonian or others?
Well, the American Museum and the Smithsonian, the Field Museum, they're all great museums by virtue of their collection. They just got everything and vast archives, you know, down there where nobody's ever seen this stuff. their message to me is all wrong. They still have the horse evolution story up there, and people laugh about that. These paleontologists laugh about that, but it's still there. But, you know, you go see bones, they got, you know, in the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, you've got a mummified hadrosaur there. Looks, he's just laying there on his back, and he's dried up like a camel in the sun. Everything is there, his stomach contents, all that stuff. And we found other hadrosaurs like that in recent years with their stomach contents, their skin, muscle, everything is there. But they're great museums. There are a lot of great museums. And, you know, Texas has some great museums. one of the things you'll see a lot, like over here.
By the way, I wanted to tell everybody, you're fighting a horrible allergy.
Yeah.
I wanted people to know that's why you're clearing your throat so often.
Bad time of the year. If I don't, I'll just choke up and I'll fade off and die.
Like a dinosaur bone.
It's like wearing cowboy boots. It proves you're a Texan if you got allergies.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take some more calls here. Let's go to Michael in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hi. I got a question for the gentleman.
Sure.
I've been in Texas myself at the Glen Rose Creation Evidence Museum. I have seen with my own two eyes a piece of sandstone with a human footprint, and then 6 hours later, according to a CAT scan, that's the impression they get. That's within that time frame that a free-forked dinosaur footprint on top of this human footprint. I've also been at the river down at Glen Rose and seen the footprints myself and seen the dinosaur tracks themselves. So they are there. And National Geographic and Discovery Channel, they do not want to touch it at all because that completely destroys this theory about evolution.
True.
Because there is no evolution. The species are already set out there for one specific purpose only, and that is to live in harmony. And that is that what I believe in my Christian belief, that I think that put in a word in the book of Genesis, and that was that we should have dominion over this planet. No, the only one who has dominion, that is God Almighty. We are just his children, and we children need to learn his rules and obey his rules, and then we will all live on this planet in peace and quietness.
That's okay. Exactly right.
I agree with that, Michael, wholeheartedly. Yeah. Good statement, indeed. Do you go on many trips, Joe, searching and digging?
Yeah. Until about 10 years ago, I was digging, 6 months out of the year. One year I dug for 9 months straight, and I don't know what I got, but they thought I had anthrax poisoning. I was treated with Cipro and pretty messed up for a while, but I was just overworked and breathing a lot of dust. But I've done a lot of digs and dug in quite a few states, United States. I've worked on stuff from all over the world, and that's great. Since I'm a restorer, I get stuff from China, Morocco, got eggshells from France. I had them electron scanned. People would not believe how complex a shell of an egg is. Even old chicken eggs, they're like spaghetti all mixed together. And some of them look like plates of glass that have been stuck together. It's just amazing. But, I've dug a lot of places. I've dug a lot of dirt. And I love to dig in Texas because it's home. We're close. And you can dig almost all year long here.
Let's go to David in Sacramento, California. It's your turn. Hey, David, thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm first-time caller, long-time listener. The question I have for you, sir, is based upon the evidence that you have seen, how old is the Earth?
Well, I would start off with 6,000 years. And now to prove that, there's several dating methods in the Earth. There's about 80 ways you can date things. All of them would indicate that the Earth can't be but a few thousand years old. And, for instance, a lot of times these millions of years scenarios is come up with by measuring limestone, okay? Let's say you got 30 feet of limestone. Well, today, limestone builds up at a very small fraction of an inch a year. Okay. If the Earth has always been just like it is now, then that 30 feet of limestone might represent millions of years, and the point would be proven. However, if you know about Noah's flood and the fact that the Earth split several ways and began to move apart, and all these the fountains of the great deep, the deep caverns of water, molten rock and all sorts of sand and all sorts of things came up out of the Earth, blistering hot or at least warm, there apparently is a large deposit of lime under the Earth, which is not the remains of animals, but just lime. That all came up, and when it went down into the ocean, it began to kill the life, okay, and began to form quickly. The other thing that happened was when the windows of heaven opened up, apparently that decompressed the atmosphere because you've got limestone building up so fast, turning to rock or hard clay, that fish were preserved in the act of giving birth. You've got skin on sharks in Texas. And sharks are, the only thing that preserves in a shark today is their teeth. And to get the skin of a shark, or up there in southern Oklahoma, northern Texas, there are places in the so-called Permian where there are complete sharks preserved. They're about a foot long, and they've been exposed under the surface of the earth for a long time, and they're still there. The only way you can get that is to have an immediate deposition or immediate atmospheric change. Now you're going to build up the limestone in the ocean rapidly, so quickly that you entomb all these animals, some with their remains in their stomach and all that. So now that 30 feet of limestone might represent a few minutes or a few hours, and so the whole thing of that dating method is completely thrown off. All the other dating methods, like I talked about C14, I think we've adequately proved that C14 is found in dinosaur bones, therefore they can't be millions of years old. Uranium dates. I got an email from a scientist. He said, there are 30 things that we don't know about uranium, about nuclear dates. 15 we can't test. Well,
so,
okay.
So, but are you saying, Joe, that the planet is at least 6,000 years old? But
at least 6,000.
But how old do you think it might be?
I think it's just 6,000.
That's it.
Yeah, I know that sounds weird.
Well, wait a minute. What about our million-year-old dinosaur?
Well, they just aren't. We've been told that. And, you know, when Darwin and those guys started those theories, gosh, they threw out all kinds of years, and they've gotten more or less. It goes all over the place. And it's not science. It's just an idea. And the reason for millions of years was we don't see evolution happening. But in a long period of time, surely it would happen because we have a monkey here and a man here. Let's imagine what would have been the intermediate steps. Let's do drawings of them. Come on, drawings is art. It's not science. Art is not science. It's imagination. I'm an artist. It's just imagination. You can depict something that you see, but you can also depict something you can't see and you can't tell the difference. People think this stuff is true because you got some artist has done a chart here.
Sure.
This stuff isn't millions of years old. And like I say, all these dating methods, they're skewed. They don't figure in what happened during Noah's flood. Yet three things happened. The water came up, the oceans came up out of the earth, the atmosphere decompressed, or windows of heaven broke up, something happened, and it began to rain. You know, you got mosquitoes, or you have birds with feathers on them in Germany, and the Solnhofen limestone where the Archaeopteryx comes from, okay, with feathers on them. You know, that had to happen so quickly because you've got garfish in there also preserved. You have crocodiles preserved. Well, those things, if a juicy bird fell into the water, especially a baby bird, it'd be gobbled up in no time.
Sure.
It wouldn't make it to the bottom of the ocean and then lay there, you know, with his feathers still intact. It had to happen so quickly that all these things preserved. The Bavarian limestone's full of that stuff.
Flash frozen instantly.
Well, that's true. You know, up in, we know there was a terrarium-like atmosphere around the Earth. Why is that? Because you go to Japan, you go to Alaska, you go to Russia, go anywhere, and you'll find tropical animals and plants. You go up to the Antarctica, you drill down 1,000 feet, you're hitting green trees and live toads. You know, they bring up live isopods, I think it is, a little trilobite-looking thing, maybe a trilobite. The torpid toad is a kind of phenomenon in some of these oil drilling deals. They're frozen. They come up, they thaw out, they croak a little bit, move around a little bit, and die. They've been alive, what, for 180 million years?
Yeah.
No. They were flash frozen up there, flash frozen. And another thing, the ice caps, the polar ice caps, may not always been there. If you turn the Earth, you know, to where the freezing zone is in the oceans, well, the land masses might have been over here in a subtropical environment, a savanna-type environment. And if the Earth moved a little bit, you'd bring things like mammoth herds into the freezing zone so quickly they couldn't move. They couldn't migrate out. What do you find in Alaska and Siberia? Millions of dead mammoths, and if they haven't thawed out and rolled down the mucky hill, they're still intact. Their meat is good. You know, they're frozen so quickly. Well, this doesn't happen in a subtropical environment. In fact, if you thaw when you thaw the tundra out, mammoths couldn't walk on that stuff. They didn't live in the tundra. The tundra buried them. They didn't, you know, they depict them out there with that long hair. Oh, boy, that's going to make them warm. You know, well, they don't have oil glands in the hair, and that hair is just decoration. It doesn't keep them warm. And they show them raking the snow out here with their big long tusks. No, that snow killed them. They were using those tusks to push bark off of trees. Mm-hmm. They don't have any trees up in Alaska now, not like they had then. They're branches of trees, fruit trees over in Russia, with fruit still on them. And frozen animals that were, yeah. You know, big wind came in, and the thing just sat down with his wind back to the wind, and then froze. A lot of the animals in Alaska have broken bones, not in the tundra. You don't walk around the tundra and break a bone. Elephants don't break bones generally anyway. But if you get into a tornado and the animal's picked up and thrown and dropped on his legs, now you might break one of them.
Then you got some broken bones.
Yeah.
That's right.
A miner told me that, you got to come up here, man. We're down at 65 feet. There's a whole layer of torn up trees down here. And, well, how'd that happen? Well, you know, it's a big tornadic wind. So something happened in Alaska that's not happening now. It happened momentarily, killed all those mammoths off.
Yeah.
But it didn't kill them all off in Texas. And all along the Texas-New Mexico border, you've got these paleo sites with the beautiful spear points, the Folsom points, look like a bullet, beautifully made, not made by some dumb savage. You know, these are really beautifully done. They're artistically beautiful as well as functional. And all along the coast, of the two states here, the border, you've got all these old sites where they kill big bison, sometimes horses that nobody ever talks about for some reason. And all these mammoths, occasionally a mastodon. And then they're covered over in dirt sometime, and they never came back. The Earth is going through these geological phases. Mountain building, for instance.
They're cycles.
Yeah, they're cycles. And, you know, the mountains didn't rise 3 million years ago. They rose a few thousand years ago. The Rockies are new. Go look at them. They're all sharp. You've got New Mexico. Look at all those hills out there. They haven't been eroding for millions of years. You can check the erosion dates on that, erosion rates. You know, up in the Badlands of South Dakota, the erosion channels there are miles and miles and miles and miles long. Well, you pretty well can figure that they're losing an inch of sediment a year. The face of that cliff is losing about an inch a year. Well, do the math, you know?
Well, are you saying, Joe, that and we'll wrap things up with final calls here. Are you saying that the physical planet in its entirety is only about 6,000 years old, or what we're seeing today is 6,000 years old?
The whole thing is only 6,000 years old because Jesus gives the genealogy, or the genealogy is given of Mary and Joseph back to Adam, the son of God, the first creation. And you can't give a 6,000 years or so out of that. the uranium and all that sort of stuff, you know, If you figure the Earth was split and all the stuff down from the core came up, now you've got the potential for having uranium come up that looks like it's millions of years old, but it's not. And one last point. There was a miner told me, so we used to dig high-grade uranium by hand. We would dig into dinosaurs. He dug into one up there in southern Colorado that was buried so quickly in this mud that turned to cement that he didn't collapse. It wasn't flat. The entire animal was there. His entire body, the muscles, flesh, bones, everything was high-grade uranium.
Let's go to Dave, Loon Lake, Washington. Go ahead, Dave, real fast.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Joe, I'm a subscriber of the expanding Earth theory, which basically says that the Earth is getting larger and larger, and as it gets larger, the gravitational pull exerted by the Earth increases. Now, I have read information that suggests strongly that dinosaurs could not live on this Earth today because the gravity is too strong, and that as a consequence, animals generally have had to get smaller to adapt to the expanding Earth with the increasing gravity. I'm wondering if you're willing to comment on this and give us your thoughts, please.
Well, that's news to me, but that's worth considering. I hadn't heard that. I'm going to check that out. I know some guys that working in that sort of stuff. That's a plausible theory.
Why do we have the different courts, Joe, the scientists who say 4.5 billion years old, and then you, and there are a number of people who believe that, 6,000 years old?
That's because of the speed of light. You know, well, we believe that the speed of light is constant. Well, right. That was pretty good till about 10 years ago, and a couple labs, I think France, China, somewhere, slowed light down. One lab says they got light to go backwards. Whoa, I thought light could only go one speed. Well, I thought, okay, if you can slow light down, if they really did it, can you speed light up? Now, apparently, they sped light up. Okay, if you can speed it up a little bit, can you speed up a whole bunch? All right, then it's not constant. When the Lord said, let there be light, well, there was light. If you believe in God, if you believe in God as an all-powerful creator, it's nothing for him to say, let there be light everywhere. So the light that would now, today, if it took off from some star, it would take 60 billion light years to get here, maybe. Well, not when God says, let there be light, there was light.
Instantly. Joe, yeah. We're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program. And, of course, his work, Giants Against Evolution, up next. James Wasserman joins us, a little bit of black magic on Coast to Coast AM.